God is faithful, His promise is true. So I'll speak to the mountain, oh, it's time to move. Oh, my God is bigger, oh, greater than you. I won't be shaken. I can hardly go still. I see victory. Many times I'm walking by faith, can't see what lies before me, but still I see victory. Gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by His blood. Oh, and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight. Sometimes our battles get hard.
Lord, we ask that you come, Lord, and continue to show us your way this evening, Father. Lord, lead us in the paths of righteousness, and Lord, keep the evil things from us. Lord, as we look at the world around, and Lord, so much turmoil, we come to you, Lord, in this city of refuge tonight. Lord, that we can draw strength from you, Lord, and draw healing, Father. Lord, we think of the different needs that are represented tonight. Lord, many with heavy hearts, Father, asking for a miracle from you. Lord, those that are battling cancer, Lord, those with loved ones that are wayward. Lord, those that need a miracle with their family, with their job, Lord, whatever it would be, we just put it in your hands, Father. Lord, lead us and we will follow. Lord, we know it's you that have called us, Father. Lord, it's you that have placed us here. We want to answer the way you would have us, Lord. We want to step into the footsteps you would have us to walk in, Lord. Sing the songs tonight that you would want sung, that would give honor and praise to you, Lord. Lord, we want the way to be made straight for your word to come forth, Father. Lord, cleanse our vessels tonight, we pray, Lord. Draw us closer to you, we ask. Lord, you see the need tonight for our brother Ben Coleman, asking again for a touch in his body. Lord, he needs a healing in his back, Father. We ask you'll be with him. Lord, this young child over in North Carolina, the parents writing in for little Miles Coffee, saying, remember him with a severe migraine tonight. I pray you'll touch that child, Lord. Bring peace on the home tonight, Father. Lord, whatever the situation represented tonight, Lord, if there be others, Father, I pray that you'll meet their need tonight. We love you, Lord. We give ourselves to you. Lord, we ask that you'll move on this congregation tonight, Lord. Lord, you'll take away the weariness of life, Father. You'll give us strength to worship you the way you're worthy of. We love you. We give ourselves to you. Bless the tithes and the offering, we pray. It's in Jesus' name. Because I want more. I want more. I want more. Jesus, I want more. And I want more. I want more. a blessed Redeemer. Thank you. 'Cause I know who you are, the cross of salvation was only a star, and now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future. Church this evening, and William started singing this song, and the words start out saying, "Do you feel like something is wrong here? How many feels like something's wrong here, and you don't belong here?" That's right. Amen. Is that you?
That's right.
It's not just you. Amen. We might be here for now, but don't forget where we're going. Let's worship with him. Amen.
At a night sky full of stars.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Is that where you're headed to, is heaven? Is that what's on your mind today, is heaven? Amen. Leaving this old world and things that surround us. Amen. What a trade. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day. I believe it's very soon. Let's just bow our hearts together. Father, we just come to you, Lord. Lord, just this, the words of this song just thrills our heart, Lord, that we can't forget where we're headed, what our destination is, what the end goal is, what our goal is in this life is heaven. It's to be with you and the saints, to worship you, to live with you throughout eternity. Lord, today we just commit this service, everything in your hands, Lord. We just ask, Lord, you'll speak and you'll touch, Lord, and you'll minister as only you can do, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can be turning in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. I didn't get to hear the announcement, so I don't know if the announcement was made, but we're going to try to have a work day on Saturday the 27th. So if you can kind of put that on your calendar to try to get ready for our meetings that are coming up. Very quickly, it seems like a week is only a day anymore, and a year is only just a couple months. I don't know how in the world we're already in September of 2025. That's incredible, but we're just that much closer to home. Amen. Amen. And I'm really thankful for that. Just want to look here in the Word to Romans chapter 10 and verse 5. It says, "For Moses describeth the righteous which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh." Now notice, the righteousness which is of faith speaketh. So in other words, faith has a voice. "On this wise, saying not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Amen. We'll let you be seated this evening. I've just been kind of thinking on this thought of faith to be the voice. Because faith has a voice. And now, as we know, there's many voices in this world. But kind of what got me to thinking on this thought was the things we've been through this week in this nation of a young man that was cut down very early in life. And because he had a voice, and he spoke, amen, things that maybe others didn't agree with or didn't, you know, think that was the way they wanted to live or whatever, but he had a voice, and he was not afraid to use that voice, and he would declare, amen, the things of God, and in the place that he was in his life and his Christian walk, seemed like a wonderful man. But I just thought the courage this man had, that he would stand before hundreds and even thousands and talk to them and talk very openly about Christianity and about Jesus Christ and about what he believes, you know. And he had a voice. And while others are putting out their voice and their voices of sin and unbelief and all this, here's this one voice speaking out. And you know, I believe that there's a also, but not just one voice as this one man was, but there's many voices. There's other voices that also speak of righteousness and of faith. And you know, as we know that there's going to be, as we go into this and into the rapture, and the rapture takes place, there's going to be many that give their life just like this man even did, amen, because of what they believe or the voice that they speak or what they stand for. But I was just thinking upon those thoughts a little bit about what voice am I giving heed to, or am I speaking to, or am I allowing my lips to speak for? Because God has never been without a voice or a mouthpiece somewhere upon the earth. Amen. So if the prophet of God, as we know, was his mouthpiece for this generation, amen, but he has gone off the scene, and yes, we have his tapes and we have his books, and just like we have the scriptures, amen, of Jesus speaking and things, and Paul and all of those, amen, but their lives have been lived out, and they have went to their place of rest until that day that we just sing about of heaven, that we'll all gather together. But we are still here upon this earth, and we have a voice, and it's not just a recorded voice, but it's a live voice. This is what Brother Branham would say. He said, that's what shakes the devil. He said, it's not just somebody that can do this or do that, but a live voice is what shakes the devil. Amen. So Brother Brown makes many statements, and I'll just use a couple. He said he doesn't have any eyes on earth but yours and mine, no hands but mine and yours. We are his mouthpiece. Amen. We are his mouthpiece. We are his earpiece. We are his eyes and so forth upon the earth. What are we? His mouthpiece. We submit ourselves to him, and our words are not our words. We take no thought for what you will say, as the scripture says, because it's not you that speak, it's the Father that dwelleth in you. He's the one that does the speaking. I trust that's our testimony tonight, that it's not just me that's speaking or you that's speaking, but there's something on the inside of us that is speaking out, amen, to this ungodly generation that we're living in. Amen. You know, maybe in some like Jeremiah, as we can read in Jeremiah, he says in verse chapter 1 and verse 4, he said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, behold, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctify thee and ordain thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go into all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Amen. So we see very clearly that God always has somebody he can put his words into. He can speak. Amen. He can use, amen, the words of God. And I believe that's exactly what happens, is when a believer takes the word of God's word of God upon their lips, Brother Brandon would say, it's just as if deity itself was speaking. Amen. What is it? You're giving voice, not to your thoughts, not to your desires, not to what you think or how you think things ought to be or how you think things ought to operate, but you're giving voice to the word of Almighty God. You're giving voice to what God has done in this hour. We can read many, amen, through the Bible, as we can take this thought for a moment. Amen. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 1, we can read about, amen, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. He's the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Notice, he's not the one crying in the wilderness, but he is the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Amen. God is crying. God is moving. God is doing. But there has to be a voice upon earth that is putting into words, amen, sound, amen, that can bring forth life and bring forth the word of God and make it made manifest. You know, it's just like this microphone that I got here. As long as there's no sound, it's just a deaf thing. It doesn't make nothing. There's nothing. It doesn't have no power on its own, amen, to make anything. But once my voice is transmitted through it, then it can amplify. It can bring it to the building. It can bring it to a place way bigger than this. That's the same thing that God is wanting, a people, amen, that can be his mouthpiece, his microphone, that he can speak and their words will come forth upon the earth, and it will do exactly as it did when he said, let there be. Amen. So we see he was not the voice, but of the one. He was not the one crying, but he was the voice of the one crying. Amen. You know, Noah became the voice of the one, amen, that would brought the antediluvian destruction. God had sent a warning to Noah. He didn't tell the whole world. He didn't tell everybody else. He told Noah. And Noah would take that warning, and he would begin to preach the gospel of that message of it's going to rain. And he became the
voice of that destruction. He became the voice, amen, that God would use and God would speak. But listen, that was not just altogether words, amen, because listen, I want you to understand, faith is not just words. Faith is also action. Amen. Listen, if it's just words, it's just a bunch of empty things. Amen. So a lot of people can say a lot of things. They can say that they're your friend. They can call you their buddy. They can say all kinds of things. But when you see the action behind it, then it shows you there's something real that's really on there driving that voice that's saying, I'm your buddy. I'm your friend. Amen. You really mean a lot to me. There's something. There's an action that causes those words to ring true. Amen. And that's exactly how it is. It's not just us up there bumbling around and stumbling around and speaking whatever, but no, there's a voice behind the voice. There's a power behind that voice to bring those words and make them made manifested in lives. Amen. So he was a witness. Amen. He moved with fear and he prepared an ark, and the building of the ark was a testimony of his faith. Did you hear that? The building of the ark was the testimony of his faith. Amen. He could have said it's going to rain, but he would have drowned like everybody else if he didn't put the words that God spoke into action. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. We can say there's going to be a rapture, but if we don't put some things in action, we're going to go into the tribulation just like everybody else. Amen. But there has to be an action. There has to be a drive. There has to be a power that comes forth from these words, that they're not just empty things or empty promises, but they're being made manifested in our lives. Amen. He began to put nails in boards and cut trees, however, and he began to do that before he ever saw a cloud. Before he ever even seen a sign. Ain't that something? I mean, you know, we like to, you know, well, if I can just see something, then I'll believe it. No, when it's true faith, you'll begin to move before you even see it. You'll begin to go into action before you even see something happen. Amen. That's what true faith is. And he began to move, but not having clouds to ever come across the sky, not ever seeing rain ever before in his life. But God told him in a voice that he was going to destroy the water, and it was going to the world with water, and it was going to flood. And Noah gave testimony to that voice. Noah gave testimony to that voice and confirmed his testimony that he believed by building an ark. Amen. It ain't good enough to just say, I believe. Amen. There has to be something that gives testimony that you truly believe what you say. Amen. You can say, I believe the message, but there's something really that gives true testimony, amen, that backs up what you say. Amen. If it is, there's a life that backs it up. There's something, amen, that comes and being made manifest in your life, not just empty words. Noah gave testimony of this thing, and he confirmed his testimony of his belief by building an ark. But you know, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. It's just the hour. There's nothing can stop it. He said, Brother Bram said, all the preaching I could do, all the resurrection that Christ could show, it'll never stop it. The Bible says it. What'll never stop? As it was in the days of Noah. It's going to take place. Amen. So it's going to happen. These things that we're seeing, amen, that are being made manifest upon this earth is the fulfillment of prophecy. There's nothing can stop it. There was a voice that spoke and said it was going to be, amen, and nothing will stop it. Amen. It's going to be like Sodom and Gomorrah among us. There's nothing that's going to stop it. It's going to be as it was in the days of Noah. There's nothing going to stop it, but it's nothing going to be just like nothing stopped Noah. Nothing is going to stop the bride. Amen. Just like nothing stopped Abraham, nothing is going to stop the bride. Amen. The bride is also going to fulfill the voice spoken of her in this hour. He said, I could never stop ladies from wearing little old vulgar clothes. It's the nature of them. They've seen it. The devil's presented it. They are subject to it. I could never stop all the men from drinking. Certainly not. I could never make the church spiritual. Hello? I could never make the church spiritual. All the preaching I would do would never make it spiritual. But there would be one now and then a fish. God wants them in the kingdom. I'll give my voice. I don't know who it is, but I'll preach it anyhow. And as I preach it, they'll hear. For all the Father has given me will come. So if it's one little fish on a Wednesday night, I'll keep preaching. I'm going to give voice to the resurrection. I may not stop every drunk. I may not stop every drunk killing somebody on the highway or every murderer that wants to shoot some man for speaking what he has on his heart. I may not be able to stop it, but if there is one fish, I'll still have a voice to preach the word of God. Moses come into the presence of God and he heard a voice. But what God wanted more than a voice in a bush, he had to have a voice in a man. And so he would go, and once you know, and Moses, he offered all kinds of excuses why he couldn't do it. You know, I'm a bit like Moses myself. I offered God every kind of excuse in the book to not preach, to not be a preacher. I didn't want to be a preacher. Wasn't on my to-do list. It wasn't on my career checklist. It wasn't anything that I had planned for. But obviously, God had other plans. And he had to drag my head through a lot of rocks and gravel and everything else. I was like, okay, God, yes, that'll be fine. I'll do it. I'll do what you said do. And this was Moses. He was on the backside of a desert, and he just forgot all about it. He left it all aside, and he'd been told all kinds of things in his life, but he never seen it come to fruition, and he just gave up on it. But one morning, he saw this bush that was burning with fire, but it was not being consumed. So he comes up there, and a voice speaks out of it and calls him by name. It calls him by name, and it begins to tell him of his work and of what he's going to do and how he's going to minister, and he's going to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And you're going, but he's like, God, I stutter. I got this problem. I'm not good at speaking. God's like, hey, you don't have to worry about that. I've got a voice. And this voice will speak, amen. And if you'll just use, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. And he said he headed towards Egypt, and stop him. You couldn't stop him if you wanted to. He was going. The voice said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I made a promise that I would deliver these people. The time is at hand. I've heard their groanings. I've seen their taskmasters. I'm doing that, but I've come down to deliver them, but I'm sending you to do it. Come on. I've come down to deliver them, but I'm sending you to do it. Amen. He might be coming down to deliver somebody, amen, at where you work, but he's going to send you to do it. He might be coming down to deliver somebody out on the streets, but he's going to send you to do it. He might be coming down this evening to deliver somebody. He's going to send a man to do it. There's going to be a voice that's going to speak, amen. Amen. And that's why we got to look beyond the veil of human flesh. We got to look beyond the false. We got to look beyond our whole, what we can see with our eyes, and say, well, that's just Brother Timothy. No, that ain't just Brother Timothy. Amen. It's the voice of God speaking and calling out and saying, hey, if you are a sinner, come to Christ. If you need God, come and receive him. If you need healing, he's here to do it. Daniel had to be a voice, even though it would seemingly going to cost his life, and would have if God would not have intervened. He got thrown to some lions, and they wasn't just pet lions, they were hungry lions. That's what they did. They killed people. And he's thrown in there for praying. You know, and he was a voice. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were a voice. He said, our God is able to deliver us, but if he don't, we're not bowing down to that idol. They wasn't ashamed of it. And listen, I think if there's ever a time, you know, the world, as we, you know, back in the day, they used to call it, I don't know how to say this, because, yeah. When one of those kind of people come out, they were coming out of the closet. When a homosexual come out, they were coming out of the closet. and they've come out a lot. It's in your face to where now, amen, where they, if you don't believe the way they believe and you don't, and they're turning more and more wicked and more violent and more until where now we're seeing them taking people alive. Amen. They've come out of the closet. We've seen demons become made manifest and voices of devils speaking out in human beings. Come on, somebody. That's exactly what we're seeing. We're seeing voices of the underworld, the spirits of Satan speaking out in human beings. Amen. Well, I read what my prophet said. If all hell turns loose, then all heaven's going to turn loose. Amen. So if you see those voices speaking out and those voices crying out, how much more should the voice of Christ be crying out? Amen. Samson wasn't ashamed. He had to be a voice in his day. As we read about John, he wasn't ashamed to speak. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the world." Listen, God could do whatever he wants to do. He could have chose just this pulpit to preach to you. He's God, right? I mean, I read my Bible. He took a mule one time and used it. He can use whatever he wants to use. But through the foolishness of preaching, it's how God chose. And God chose to use men to speak to men. That's a paradox. God chose men because, hey, you know, it would be amazing, you know, if all of a sudden this bright light come down on a Wednesday night and just begin to speak out. Oh, we'd go home in faith and believe, and no telling what would take place. But that ain't the way God chooses to work. God choose, amen, to use a man about this tall, dark-headed, amen, about this, with this build and everything. What? Humans. And it looks like a bunch of foolishness. But God said, that's the way I'm pleased to dwell in. That's the way I'm pleased to work in. And the only way you'll get anything from that is if you get past the foolishness. If you get past all the mistakes and all the problems and all the situations and the humanity of it. And it ain't just getting past my humanity. It's getting past your humanity. Stephen, he was a martyr. He wasn't ashamed of God's word. He would speak very boldly. He wasn't even a preacher. He was a deacon, and he was testifying everywhere of the resurrection. Why? Because he had met God for himself. Try to stop him. Well, Brother Brown said it was like trying to put a house that's fire on a windy day. Every time the wind blew, it just set another fire. Hallelujah. Have y'all not seen what has happened? They tried to put one candle out, and now everybody's saying, "We are Charlie Kirk." The wind blew, it lit more fires. Come on. I mean, they got videos of churches being filled. I don't know where all this is going, but I just know, amen, what was it? Satan trying to snuff a life out, and it's actually had the opposite effect. Dumb old devil, he's been doing that for thousands of years. He's been trying to kill it all for thousands and thousands of years. And every time the wind blows, it just jumps over and starts another fire. Believe me, I know exactly how it works. It worked right out here. Amen. We was building this church. I started that field on fire. Next thing I know, the wind got up and it blew and it jumped my little berm. My berm I'd push with a dozer, jumped right over and started another fire. No matter what I tried to do, no matter how I tried to extinguish it, no matter what I did, it went anyway. Why? Because there was a wind behind it. Come on, somebody. Amen. And God will use storms. He'll use the devil. He'll use whatever he has to. Amen. To spread this work of God until it goes into every tongue, every nation, and every people. I'm not here to say I am Charlie Kirk. God bless him. But I am here to say I am Jesus Christ. I am his voice for this generation. You are his voice for this generation. You are his voice that'll declare he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are his voice to declare he still hates sin. He still hates unbelief. He's still the same God. He would say, "Stand there, testify."
They jerked him up before the Sanhedrin council. He said, that's like the ecumenical council. All religions, heads under there. All them headed up together, Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, whatever they were. They'd come into a council and they snatched him up. One organization, one big council. We'll just scare the liver out of him. And he walked up that morning. Bible said his face looked like an angel. And he said, men and brethren, let me speak to you. Our fathers dwelt in Mesopotamia before they came to Charan and so forth. He went and gave the scriptures, and then he got all wound up. The Spirit of God came on him. And he said, you stiff neck, uncircumcised of heart and ears, you have always resisted the Holy Ghost like your fathers did, so do you. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel. Listen, I want you to understand, the majority of Brother Branham's ministry was preaching in front of his critics. Just about to go to Saskatoon, and then you can go and listen to about 5 services that was right there in Saskatoon, and he's wondering what's going on and what's happening. This building ought to be full. Amen. And Brother Kelly would tell you that the ministry in that town got together and told their people, don't you go, don't you support him, don't you be there. And every one of them was sitting right there on the front row, defying him. But God still moved. Hallelujah. You can listen to it. There were blind people given their sight. There was ears that were open. There was all kind of miracles that took place. Despite all the critics. Despite all the naysayers. Despite everything that had tried to stop it. God still had a voice. He wasn't embarrassed. He wasn't ashamed. Paul said before Agrippa, being a Jew, taught under Gamaliel. One day on the road to Damascus, he came into that same presence. Came in contact with God. An angel came down from heaven in the form of a pillar of fire, and he struck him to the ground. He raised him and said, Lord, who are you? And he said, I'm Jesus. And he's standing out before Agrippa, and he repeated that story again. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. He said, now friends, we come down with men down through ages. He said, but let me say this. A man who's once come into contact with God, which is the Word made plain and manifested to him, there's no shameness about it. You're not embarrassed. It doesn't embarrass me to say I believe every word of God. It doesn't embarrass me when the Lord says to say something, you go and say and do it. It don't embarrass me to say I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. It doesn't embarrass me to say I believe in a Pentecostal move. Amen. It doesn't embarrass me to say I spoke with other tongues. It doesn't embarrass me to say our Lord has showed me visions. It doesn't embarrass me today that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, when you're brought before rulers and kings for my name's sake, take no thought for what you'll say, but it'll be given to you in that hour. It's not you that speaketh, but my Father that dwelleth in you. But whosoever is ashamed of me and my word in this generation, him will I be ashamed before my Father and the holy angels. God help us not to be ashamed. Help us to be living testimonies. Any disciple of Christ who's come in contact with him in redemption and salvation is coming to his heart. He's a possessor of God. What kind of life should we live? How should we walk? How should we talk? Voice. How should we talk if God is representing himself through our mortal bodies? Who could be ashamed of that? He said, if I'm a Christian, been filled with the Spirit, wearing the testimony of Jesus Christ, resurrection, that's he's the same yesterday, today, forever. Don't let the devil try to push you around and say, you don't do this and you don't do that. You do it.
You do it. God has given you authority by the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his promised word. The things that I do shall you do also. More than this will you do, for I go unto my Father. Don't be ashamed of him in this generation. Sinful, perplexed, last generation that will ever be upon the earth. This sinful, adulterous, full of putrid sores. Everything that's been decent has become indecent. National politics and filth and nations are broke up. Way back in the jungles of Africa, safari hunters are now listening to Elvis Presley and Pat Boone and no telling what now. Amen. See, it's a spirit, and the spirit is not only in America. It spread itself all over the world to bring them to the battle of Armageddon. They act like that. Whatever nation they come from, that's vulgar and stuff, is spread all over the earth by one man starting it. By one man starting it. But so has the power of God. So has the power of the gospel. The power of Almighty God has spread around the world. How? By one man starting it.
And the separation time is taking place when God's calling a bride and the devil is calling a church. And he ends it with, "Let me be part of the bride." Hallelujah. Brother Branham was a voice. He's a voice to his generation. He was a voice of indictment to this nation because they rejected their call. Hey, listen, I'm good. I'm happy about good people in political positions. Well, good people in the standards of today, I'll put it that way. Because honestly, I mean, today's Republicans are yesterday's Democrats. Liberals, and it just goes further and further and further, sliding off on a slippery slope going straight to destruction because of voices they've listened to. People so carried away with their voices to where they're claiming a man to do and say things, taking him completely out of context, making him say stuff and be something he was not. Celebrating his death. Do you see the spirit that's prevalent in this day? Celebrating. Listen, those are national spirits. Those are spirits, but those national spirits are also spirits that comes against the church. They celebrate when people backslide. They celebrate when people go wrong. They celebrate when things happen. They celebrate when somebody leaves a message. They celebrate. Because they've listened to the wrong voice. He said, I'm always praying that this day that we're going to have to answer for. I'm not going to have to answer for the generation that was before me or the generation that will be after me. But in the judgment, I'll stand with this generation. And I said, look at there. There's a woman picture on the sign, beer drinking, something or another. She's breathless or something. I said, yes, lifeless too. All right, there you are. I said, what a disgrace. With all the preaching, sometimes it seems, I told my wife, sometimes it seems it doesn't do any good. But I've got to be the voice of warning. Anyhow, regardless of what people does about it, I've got to preach the gospel anyhow and give a witness unto the resurrection of the power of Jesus Christ. Let them forsake it, turn their back, God a judgment, the judgment day for it. I'm only responsible for preaching it and other ministers too. Hello. And other ministers too to preach the gospel. That's why don't get mad when the preacher or the pastor or one of the ministers comes up here and something might burn your hide. You ought to say, thank you, God. That was the word of God, and I've been wrong. Let me make that right. Thank you, Lord. I don't want to listen to the wrong voices. Maybe they get up and they get on your splits, or they get on your situation, the things that you wear, or what you do. They ought to say, thank you, God. I got a voice that cares about me. I got somebody that cares enough about me that will warn me of the coming judgments. He said one reason the church is in the condition it's in because there's so many voices. There's so many other voices to attract the church from the voice of God till it's very doubtful that many would hear the voice of God though it spoke right in their midst.
They perhaps wouldn't even understand it because it would be a foreign thing to them. Mercy, God. Don't let the voice of God become a foreign thing to us. They got themselves so much centered on the voices of today. There's so many voices in the earth today. That's absolutely a hard thing because it deadens the voice of the supernatural. There's so many intellectual voices, great voices of mighty men who are intellectual, and their intellectual conditions can even shake nations. They're just not overnight people. They shake nations, bring great organizations together, great campaigns, flowery speeches, and a person would be a bit confused. It's enough to confuse them of how these things can go on and prosper, and there's voices that raise up and do these things. And it causes the voice of God to be placed way back somewhere, the true voice of God. He said, but the voice of God, they said, how will we know it? How will we know it? It's a vindicated voice. It'll have the manifested word. This is God's prophet. A true voice of God only brings back that real, living, supernatural God. Hello? It don't bring back intellectualism. It don't bring back psychology. It'll bring back the supernatural God and His supernatural word. And the supernatural manifestation of that word. We know that to be the voice of God. But the voice today in the world is a voice of politics. That's a great voice and getting louder. It's all you ever hear, politics. The voice of politics is actually stronger than the voice of God in churches. Or the American people would have never done what they just done. They'd have never done it. If the voice of God would have kept alive in the church, they'd have never made that mistake. But the voice of politics is so much stronger in the earth today than the voice of God until people sold their Christian birthrights for a mess of popularity and education and political power. It's such a shame to see it, the very thing that our nation was made on. And people turned right back and voted that thing we left the other country. I'm pretty sure he's talking about the first Catholic, right? Kennedy. Amen. Right back, the thing we left, the reason why we've done what we've done and come to Plymouth Rock and Mayflower and established this great economy that we have, the very thing that we fought so hard to come out of it, we have put ourselves right back in His clutches because the Bible speaks it would be that way. So we've come to this place in our nation because people have listened to the wrong voice. They had a chance, but they turned it down. Wasn't big enough for them. Wasn't educated enough for them. Wasn't grand enough for them. But it was one of the most powerful voices to ever speak to any generation. It was the voice of the seventh angel. It spoke warnings that judgment was going to follow. And we've seen these things that have been spoken years and years ago are being fulfilled right before our eyes. Checking off, checking off. Checking off, checking off. He would speak about the voice of many waters in Revelations. It's the multitude of people. Brother Brandon would use it as the voice of waters. He said, could you imagine someone that was drifting helpless toward a cataract, like the roar of approaching a sure and certain doom? I think I remember Brother Biscoe preaching on this, the voice of many waters. Was that? There was a song on that, and they had a lot of preachers, I think, put it out, and he had a voice on there, and many preachers' voice. What was the voice of warning? It was a voice of judgment. It was the voice of many waters condemning and saying, don't go that way, don't go that way. What was it? God always has voices. He never sends judgment without warning. So God always has voices. We can also read on down in Revelation 10, verse 7, about the seventh angel. And he talks about him, and he speaks about how that he's the final voice to the final age. Amen. And we can read there the church, and he talks about the church and the bride. Let me find a spot here to jump in. He said, when the Methodists failed and God raised up others, so it's gone through years until the last days, there's another people in the land. There's another people in the land. They're not listening to these political voices. They're not listening to the voices of Hollywood. They're not listening to the voice of murderers. They're listening to the voice of God. There's another people in the land who, under their messenger, will be the final voice to the final age. The final voice. Can I break in something here? Satan is not the final voice. Glory to God. He does not have the final say. He doesn't have the final say over this time upon this earth. He doesn't have the final say over your life. He doesn't have the final say whether you serve God or whether you don't serve God. He doesn't have the final say whether you die of sickness or whether you live because you're healed. He does not have the final say. But there is a voice. There is a voice that has the final say. Yes, sir. And he says the church is no longer the mouthpiece of God. It's its own mouthpiece. It's speaking its own thoughts. Talking about the church world. God is turning on her. He will confound her through the prophet and the bride, for the voice of God will be in her. Amen. Who's her? A couple of hers here. This is one time I'm going to be identified as her. The bride. Amen. The voice of God will be in her. Yes, it is. Amen. Because the Spirit and the bride sing. So they have the same voice. They have the same voice. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Once more will the world hear direct from God as at Pentecost. But of course, the word bride will be repudiated as it was in the first days. Now he has cried out in the last days. You have the word. You have more Bibles than ever. And you're not doing anything without the word except dividing and hacking it to pieces, taking what you want, leaving out what you don't want. You're not interested in living it, but debating it. I would sooner you're cold or hot. If you were cold and rejected, I could stand that. If you was hot and know the truth and live it, I would praise you for it. But whether you simply take my word and don't honor it, I will return, refuse to honor you, and I will spew you out of my mouth. Amen. Because you are nauseate God. I'm going to give up one of my little secrets. You want me to spit something everywhere? My wife's done it to me, not on purpose, but she's done it to me several times. She's real bad about drinking a can of Coke and going back and filling it with water. Maybe it makes her feel better. I don't know. I'll come along and think that can of Coke's Coke. Supposed to be Coke. Looks like Coke. Says it's Coke. I put that in my mouth, and all of a sudden, if something hits my brain, says this ain't Coke, it's coming out. I'm not going to take the chance of swallowing it. Why? Because it's not what it says it's supposed to be. Amen. This is where God is. God is not going to swallow their nonsense. It's not pleasing to Him for somebody to just take what they want out of the Word, believe what they want, and do what they want, and live how they want, and say, well, this applies and this don't apply. You know, I've seen this idiot today. I'll just say it. He's just an idiot. A newscaster. Saying that Jesus said nothing about abortion, so Christians shouldn't say nothing about abortions. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. They're being spewed out of his mouth. They'll no longer be his mouthpiece. They'll no longer speak for him. They'll have a form of godliness, but there won't be no power in there. Listen, and this ain't just in the denominational world. This is also in our movement. People that have taken out things and hacked out things and hacked out the Holy Ghost and hacked out the experience of the Pentecost, hacked out all these things because they don't agree with it or don't fancy the way they want to do or how they want to humble themselves or whatever their reason for. They hack it all out. You will not be the mouthpiece for God. He'll spew you out of his mouth. But there is somebody who's going to be a mouthpiece. Now, anybody knows that lukewarm water makes you sick at the stomach. Now, that's another thing. I don't understand anybody. They say, well, it's better for you. Well, not according to the prophet of God. Well, you just need to drink a warm glass of water before a meal. No, I don't. Nope. That's a good way to get me throwing up. I don't understand. Prophet God said, anybody, how many anybody's here, knows that a lukewarm water makes you sick of the stomach. If you need a medic, lukewarm water is about the best thing to drink. Does that mean you need a reason to throw up? I'm assuming that's what that means. Didn't have time to look that up. Any real scholars in here, is that what that means? Okay, yeah. If you need a reason for throwing up, drink some lukewarm water. A lukewarm church has made God sick, and he's declared he will spew it out. This is why we have to be a voice against lukewarmness. This is why we have to have a voice in this pulpit that tells you when you're slacking off. That tells you when you're just going about it lackadaisical. Tells you when you're not putting your whole heart in it. That's why we got to have it, because we don't want you spewed out.
Reminds us of how he felt just before the flood, doesn't it? Oh, would to God that the church were cold or hot. Best of all, she should be fervent hot. But she's not. Sentence has been passed. She's no longer God's voice to the world. She will maintain that she is, but God says she's not. But God still has a voice. Hallelujah. For the people of the world, even as he's given that voice, a voice to the bride. This is why he would tell you, you speak to the mountain. He'd say, I'm going to come and I'm going to speak to you for it. Or go get your pastor and have him speak to it for you. No, he said, you speak. You speak to the mountain. Amen. So we see these things. He said, I want to read this one here. He said, I believe there's a church on the road tonight. How many's on the road? What road are we on? We're bound for glory. We're leaving here. The power of living God, that men will speak the word and it'll flash like lightning. A church that is coming out. Hello, somebody. A church that is coming out, not a psychologist, not some put on, not some make believe, but a real, true, genuine, anointed Holy Ghost called out church. That'll give voice to the power of God. That'll give voice to the supernatural. Paul said the word came in power as well as voice. The word preach actually demonstrated itself like a flaming cutting sword went into the conscience of men, like a surgeon's knife, cut out diseases, set captives free. Everywhere those early believers went, they went preaching. They had a voice preaching the gospel, the word, and God confirming the word with signs following. The sick were healed. Devils cast out. They spoke with new tongues. That was the word in action. Hello? That was the word in action. The word has never failed in the mouth of believing Christians. And in this last age, it is here stronger than greater than ever in the true word bride. Amen. Oh, Brother Timothy, you've been talking about all the voices and how great they are. But let me tell you, the word is here stronger and greater than ever in the true word bride. Oh, little flock, you little minority, my minority, hold on to that word. Fill your mouth with it. Fill your heart with it. And someday, God will give you the kingdom. Faith is not silent. Faith speaks. Brother Branham would say, when faith speaks, everything else shuts up. It's like a lion that roars. Roar, that's something about a lion roar that shuts up everything else in the jungle. Because the king spoke. When faith speaks, it shuts up doubt. Shuts up unbelief. It shuts up fear. It shuts up all the nonsense of this world. Let faith speak. Faith speak. Faith has a voice. Luke 21 verse 15 said, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom. Oh, hallelujah. Some people need that right now, right? We got enough of our own mouths. Let's have his mouth. Our mouth has got us in enough trouble. Let's have his mouth. Let's have his voice. I will give you a mouth and wisdom, and with all which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. So it won't be your words, it'll be my words. It won't be your power, it'll be my power. It won't be your authority, it'll be my authority. Matthew 10 and verse 20 said, for it is not ye that speak,
but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. I want to look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. These people were taken in and were interrogated, basically, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders had said unto them. When they heard it, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is therein, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of truth, against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, and the Gentiles, the people of Israel will gather together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Amen. You hear their threatenings, but let us have boldness to speak their word, thy word. Amen. And by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Faith gives boldness to speak. Faith, even in difficulties, even in hardships, even in the face of it all, faith still has a voice. And it has boldness. It'll look right in the face of sickness and say, by his stripes, I'm healed. That'll look right in the face of that devil that says, you're not going to make it, and say, I've already made it. That'll look right in the face of that devil that says this message ain't for you. You'll look right back in that face of that devil and say this message came because of me. Amen. Amen. Faith has a voice. It just needs a vessel. God, let us be a vessel of faith. So faith will have a voice. There's too many people giving voice to unbelief and voice to fears and voices to their sicknesses and voice to their problems and voices of their disagreements and voices of their problems in the church and voices of every kind of thing. But listen, I don't want all that. God's not interested in all those voices. There's only one voice he responds to. That's the voice of faith. So let's turn back to Romans 10 and verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing God's word brings faith. Faith brings courage. And power of God, the Holy Ghost, makes you God's mouthpiece to the world. Amen. So what are you giving voice to? Are you giving voice to your unbelief? Are you giving voice to your doubts, your fears, things you don't like, your preferences? Is that all you're giving voice to? I say, God, fill our mouth with good things. There's only one good thing, and that's the gospel. The word of Jesus Christ. How many would say that tonight? Lord, fill my mouth with good things. Let's stand together. Faith has a voice. Do you have faith to be the voice? Do you have faith to believe for the impossible? I want Sister Jessica and those to come sing that again. We're leaving this old place. I'm speaking that because the word says it. And the signs are all around us.
signs everywhere. His nearing is coming, is near, very close. Well, what if he don't come in 10 years? It's still very close. Think about how quick the last 10 years has went. We're just about to be in this church 8 years. And some of us thought, why are we building a church? We're about to have a rapture. Right? Some of us had those thoughts. Why are we doing all this? Right? The rapture coming? We don't know how long we got. But as long as we're here, I want to be a voice. A voice of truth that tells a different story. That'll tell someone when they come in this door, they may be bound with drugs and bound with drinking and bound with pornography or bound with whatever kind of sin in their life. But there'll be a voice that speaks and says, you don't have to live that way. There's a better way. There's a better life. You don't have to go down that road. There's a better road. There's a better direction you can go. I want to be a voice of faith to a generation that is dying. I'm not Charlie Kirk, but I am Jesus Christ. I want to pick up his banner. He gave his life so there could be a voice. A voice to this generation. Amen. Let's worship the Lord.
Oh,
Amen. Amen. How many can say, I don't belong here? Amen. But I'm looking forward to getting where we're going. Amen. Amen. Who am I that you are mindful of me? Oh, that you hear me every time I call. Oh, is it true that you are thinking of me and how you love me? It's amazing, so amazing. the Lord a hand tonight. Amen, amen. Amen. We have just a couple of announcements. Brother Timothy mentioned the work day. That's next Saturday, the 27th. I know we have a very packed week next week. I know there's a lot going on. I apologize that so much has crept up here, but we have service on Sunday. Don't forget. Come expecting. We will be having a